darkness. Then a silver-blue line divides Black Hills from a lowering sky. A man in silhouette strides down a central road, heading for the distant horizon as the sky floods with light. Caravan Pictures. Walt Disney Pictures presents Tall Tale, The Unbelievable Adventure. In association with Caravan Pictures, a Jeremiah Chechik film with Scott Glenn, Oliver Platt, Nick Stahl, Stephen Lang, Roger Aaron Brown, Jared Harris, with Catherine O'Hara and Patrick Swayze as Pecos Bill. Casting by Jackie Birch. Music by Randy Edelman. Costume designer Wayne Finkelman. Edited by Richard Chu. Production design by Eugenio Zanetti. Director of photography Janusz Kaminski. Executive producer Bill Badalato. Written by Stephen L. Bloom and Robert Rodat. Produced by Joe Roth and Roger Birnbaum. Directed by Jeremiah Chechik. In the blue light of early morning, mountains rise majestically above a sparkling lake. Mist swirls over fields of long grass. In the middle of the fields, a simple clapboard farmhouse. Warm orange light glows from the windows. Ears of wild grasses wave in the wind. In a field by the house, a young lad steers a plow, pulled by a reluctant horse. The horse stops. The boy slaps the reins, then throws them down. His shoulders slump. Looking around, he sees a motor car chugging along a nearby farm track. Quickly, the boy, Daniel, stands to get a better view. He's 12 years old, with light brown hair, wearing an open-necked cotton shirt, braces, and a soft felt hat. The car motors on. Daniel gazes after it, open-mouthed. The car swings round a bend towards the farmhouse, belching out a trail of blue smoke. The boy bounds across the fields towards the car. The car is open-topped with a rounded bonnet. Two round headlights gleam like eyes. The driver is dressed in leather, wearing a helmet and goggles. Daniel pounds along the track in hot pursuit, running through a cloud of exhaust fumes. As daylight brightens, the car drives past a wooden sign. Welcome to Paradise Valley. Population 97. The car heads towards a white-painted wooden church building. Back in the field, the plow is dragged over the soil, ripping a crazy furrow as the abandoned horse plods aimlessly. Two white sheets on a washing line flap in the wind. A woman is pegging up a third. Daniel trudges up to her and stands awkwardly.
Daniel, where have you been?
Your father's fit to be tied.
There was a horseless carriage.
Oh, I was afraid it was something like that. You and your flights of fancy. Daniel, what are we going to do with you? As if your father and I don't have enough to worry about, what with all that's happening in town.
Where's Pa?
In the barn, tending to Samson.
The American West, 1905. Daniel heads reluctantly towards the barn, hat in hand. He puts his head round the barn door. He fingers his hat nervously.
Sorry, Pa.
Pa stands and leads Samson to a stall.
Sorry ain't good enough.
Pa's a big man with curly dark hair and a graying beard.
Just lucky Samson didn't break a leg.
Pa gets on with his work. He doesn't look at Daniel.
Oh, there was a horseless carriage right here in Paradise Valley.
Pa throws down the plowshare.
This is a farm, Daniel. Work's got to be done when it's supposed to be done.
I hate the farm.
What was that?
I said I hate the farm. I wish you'd sell it. I hate it.
You don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do. It's nothing. It's just a dried up, miserable piece of ground.
You hold your tongue!
Daniel bites his lip.
There's wood needs splitting. You go on. Get to it. Go on!
Daniel marches out. Angrily, Pa flings down his tools. He wipes his hands on a cloth and starts to sharpen the plowshare. His wife, Sarah, comes into the barn, cradling a baby.
Man works and slaves to give his son something, something worth having. He throws it back like it don't mean beans.
He's just a boy, Jonas.
She comes close.
He's 12 years old.
Tenderly, she strokes the sleeping baby's cheek. Pa's face softens. Outside, the blade of an axe splits a log. On the wooden decking in front of the farmhouse, Daniel is chopping wood. His father comes out, carrying two fishing rods. Daniel looks up, then gets on with his task. Pa comes over to him.
Sun be setting soon. Trapping near starving.
He holds out a fishing rod. Shyly, Daniel takes it. A red float bobs in the water. Pa and Daniel sit either end of a wooden rowing boat, rods in hand.
I ever tell you about the time Pecos Bill wrestled John Henry at the Upside Down Mountain?
Daniel looks glum.
At least 100 times, Pa.
That many. Well, what about that morning Pecos Bill spiked Paul Bunyan's flapjacks with hot chili peppers?
Bunyan's breath came spurting out like fire. Burned down entire Arizona territory.
I reckon I told you that one, too. What about the time old Pecos Bill took on single-handed 50 of the toughest, meanest outlaws this side of the Rockies?
Person have to be a fool to take on 50 men.
Well, sir, them 50 varmints, they slapped leather. But before you could say past the peas, old Pecos Bill pulled and emptied both his six-shooters and shot off the trigger fingers of each and every last one of them desperados.
Which trigger fingers?
Well, it was Sunday. Pecos never killed on Sunday.
Well, it's just a tall tale.
Just because it's a tall tale don't mean it ain't true.
It's crazy talk.
Then old Pecos Billy swung his lariat and roped a passing twister and he rode off into the sky.
Pa, Pecos Bill ain't real.
He's out there. Where there's still enough elbow room for a man to wander. He's out there. The land's still young and wild.
Daniel slowly shakes his head.
You don't believe me. I swear to you, by the code of the West, Pecos Bill is as real as you and me. Now you know the code of the West, don't you?
Yeah, Pa, I know.
Pa places his hat on his heart.
Respect the land. Defend the defenseless. And don't you never spit in front of women nor children.
Pa turns his head to one side and shoots a ball of spit into the water. Daniel watches. Then, shyly, spits too. He looks at his pa and smiles. The boat is bobbing on the sparkling river. The valley beyond gives way to craggy mountain peaks capped with snow. Night. Indoors, Daniel is looking at a postcard of New York City through a stereo viewer.
What do you want me to do? You want me to bow down? You want me to sell like the rest of them want to?
If it means staying alive, yes. Why does it always have to be you that's the hero? Why does it always have to be you that sticks his neck out?
Because somebody's got to.
Jonas, no guns.
Sarah.
This isn't one of the stories you tell to Daniel.
It ain't that bad.
You're so quick to risk your life. What about your family? What about us?
Daniel listens unseen. His pa, Jonas, is loading a shotgun.
That's why I'm doing this.
Sarah's mouth twists anxiously.
I'll be back before you know it.
Jonas puts his hand on Sarah's shoulder. Daniel watches through the banisters. Sarah flings her arms around Jonas.
Be careful.
Jonas strides out. A shaft of blue light from the night outside flashes across the cozy sitting room. Jonas climbs into the cart and drives away. Daniel darts out of the house. Quickly pulling on his clothes, he runs down the dark track after his pa. Shotguns are lined up against a wall. Another is added. In the church room, farmers sit waiting in the pews. Jonas is with them. Daniel peers out from behind a curtain on the raised balcony at the back. The men crane round to look as a sinister figure enters. He stands in the shadows. The door swings shut behind him.
My pa was a farmer, and I know what it's like to work the land till your hands are blistered and raw, hoping the weather won't turn bad, praying the crop will come in, hanging on when it don't. Oh, yeah. I know what it's like to be a farmer, and I
got out. Hallelujah.
Now I'm giving you all the same chance I made for myself. A way out.
The man, Stiles, is now at the front. He pulls off his round, dark glasses.
$50 an acre.
Oh. $50.
Cold cash. Well, with that kind of pocket change, my friends, you can buy yourselves a nice new house in town. Fill it with all the modern conveniences. Industry makes them things. Factories going round the clock, oil wells to power them. That's the future.
And then what?
Jonas stands. Daniel winces. Stiles, with bowler hat, long flowing hair, and a craggy face, walks menacingly up to Jonas.
And who might you be, friend?
Jonas looks him straight in the eye.
The name's Jonas Hackett. And you ain't no friend of mine.
Stiles turns slowly away. Jonas swallows.
What happens after Mr. Stiles and his partners from back east are all done tearing and ripping apart Paradise Valley, just like you did over the mountain in Gravity Valley? I'll tell you what happens. Jefferson County will be next.
But Jonas, $50 an acre.
That's a lot of money. No question about it.
Jonas reaches into his breast pocket and pulls out a document.
This is the deed to my farm. My farm! It's got my sweat in it. My blood, too. It's where my children were born. Where my father's buried. And it's where I want to be buried, too. And that's worth a lot more to me than $50 an acre. It's worth a lot more to me than any price.
Daniel's eyes prick with tears.
I ain't selling.
Lightning flashes. Stiles angrily stalks out of the room. His henchman, Pug, thoughtfully tugs his ginger moustache. Then he too walks out. Jonas sits down in the pew. The farmers around him stand and start to file out. Jonas bows his head. Outside, rain is teeming down. The farmers hurry away.
Night, Jonas.
Jonas pulls his jacket tightly round him and runs down the church steps. He walks through the puddles towards the waiting cart, shoulders hunched against the rain. With his shotgun at the ready, Jonas looks back over his shoulder, nervously. He draws level with a stack of barrels. A sudden movement, Jonas starts and aims his shotgun. Daniel, crouched by the barrels, looks up, terrified.
Daniel!
Then smiles. Jonas pushes the barrels aside, hauls Daniel out by the scruff of the neck, and throws him to the ground.
Just heard you and Ma.
You be quiet now, and listen to me. You take this deed. You take it, and don't you let anybody have it, no matter what.
Pa!
No matter what! Do you understand me?
Men's shadows are thrown up huge against the wall.
Now go! Go on!
Ma, listen!
Go, blast him! Go!
Daniel flees down the alley and dives through a gap in the fence as Jonas turns to face his pursuers, a gang of heavies led by Stiles and Pug. Jonas stands rooted to the spot. A revolver is placed against his temple. Daniel is off and running through the trees. Stiles looks round suspiciously, peering into the distance. Then saunters over to join the heavies, who have Jonas surrounded. One keeps a gun trained on him, another grabs his shotgun. Pug, dressed in leather helmet and goggles, rifles through Jonas's pockets. He lifts up Jonas's dripping wet hat, looks inside, then dumps it back on his head.
You don't have it.
The deed. Where is it?
I told you, I ain't selling.
Don't play games with me. You had it, the meat. The kid. He must have given it to the kid. Find the brat. If he gives you any trouble, kill him.
Jonas struggles. Daniel stops in his tracks. Daylight, back at the farm. Inside, Sarah strips the leaves from a cob of corn. Her eyes are trained on the bedroom door. Farmers are sitting around the kitchen table. Daniel, pale, watches anxiously from the stairs. The bedroom door opens and the doctor emerges. Pa is lying in the bed. Daniel stands up. Sarah puts the corn cob in the pot as the doctor comes over to the table.
I've done everything I can do. It's in the Lord's hands now.
Jonas is tough. He'll pull through.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm selling. Pulling out. No piece of ground is worth dying over.
Daniel looks through the open bedroom door at his pa lying in the bed, eyes closed. Daniel swallows hard, then turns tail and runs out of the kitchen, into the sunshine. He jumps off the porch and bounds away over the long grass. Hat in hand, hair rumpled in the light breeze, he runs through the fields. Heading down to the river, Daniel pounds along the wooden jetty and clambers down into the rowing boat. Throwing himself full length, his face crumples and his chest heaves with sobs. He rubs his eyes. The boat is tied to the jetty by a length of rope fastened with a simple slipknot. The boat bobs on the water, tugging on the rope. Daniel closes his eyes and rolls over onto his back. The bobbing boat gently slips its mooring. As Daniel drifts off to sleep, the boat drifts away from the jetty. The setting sun turns the water to liquid gold. Daniel is stretched full length, fast asleep in the bottom of the boat, carried along by the current. The molten sun, radiating shafts of dazzling light, dips slowly down behind the shadowy mountains and disappears. The high cliffs fall sheer to the ribbon of water below. On the water, in the blue light of dusk, the boat drifts by. Only the oars stick up above the outline of its rounded wooden hull. It's a black silhouette bobbing on the silver-blue water and carried steadily on. Now, a flood of hazy orange light. In the center, a white-hot sun climbs up into the sky. Daylight. The boat is beached on parched yellow earth, cracked and crazed, that stretches to the horizon. Daniel is still sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. Three large vultures are perched on the side, watching him. Downy feathers around their scraggy necks ruffle in the breeze, their beaks hooked and mean. Suddenly, a booted foot steps on the side of the boat, rocking it. The birds flutter up. Daniel starts, facing him a revolver aimed by a crazy hillbilly. A second aims from the other side.
Where am I?
Stick him up! Hands above the head! Now!
But...
Zeb! Touch him! Touch him!
Reluctantly, Zeb puts away his gun and goes over to the boat.
Get out of there, boat boy!
He hauls Daniel out and pats his pockets. He finds the deed.
Yeah, what we got here?
Hey, that's mine! Give it back!
That's his! He wants it back!
Hands up! Hands up!
Here's some bingo! We got 16 cents. Hot spit!
Any gold in his teeth?
Put that mouth, boy. I count one. Water. Two. Four fillings.
Somebody ain't been brushing.
Grubb's broad grin shows his own rotten teeth. He takes a step back from Daniel, licks his finger, and wipes the barrel of his shotgun. Looking over his shoulder, he takes aim. Daniel puts his hands above his head. Zeb sidles up.
Let me kill this one. You killed the last two in a row.
That's cause I'm better at it than you.
Aw. And what's fair is fair. How am I gonna get good at it if I don't practice?
Grubb considers.
Oh, all right. Wait.
Beaming, Zeb pulls out his revolver.
Should I shoot him right between the eyes?
Come on, kid. Sorry, stunt your growth.
Now don't you move.
Daniel shuts his eyes.
Trigger finger.
Daniel's unhurt.
Somebody done shut off my trigger finger.
Daniel looks round bewildered. The blue sky has clouded over. A cyclone is heading straight for them. Daniel squints. The cyclone whirls away, leaving behind it a dark figure on a black horse, galloping over the parched ground. Grubb and Zeb exchange terrified glances. They hobble off as fast as they can as the cowboy gallops closer, the horse's hooves kicking up clouds of dust. Zeb and Grubb skedaddle, torn trousers flapping. Daniel ducks down beside the boat to watch. The cowboy circles a lasso above his head as the horse thunders up, gaining on the two old-timers. The cowboy aims the lasso, rings Zeb and Grubb, and pulls them over backwards. The cowboy rides up, circling them again with the rope. His black horse rears, and he heads off, leaving Zeb and Grubb bewildered. Daniel watches in admiration as the cowboy trots towards him and wheels his horse round in a tight circle. Daniel's hair ruffles in a breeze. He stares at the cowboy, who dismounts. He's dressed in leather chaps, a long suede coat, a kerchief at his neck, and a round felt hat pulled low on his forehead. He takes a few steps towards Daniel, who stands uncertainly.
Who are you?
I'm a ringtail roarer. I could draw faster, shoot straighter, ride harder, and drink longer than any man alive. I ride cyclones and I wrestle.
You got a name, don't you?
I'm getting to that. I am the rip-snortinest cowboy that ever rode north, south, east, or west of the Rio Grande. I'm Baker's Bill.
Daniel stops for a moment.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm Santa Claus.
Friendly cuss, ain't he, Widowmaker?
The black horse twitches its ears and shakes its head.
Name's Daniel. Daniel Hackett.
Well, Daniel Hackett, I believe them varmints got something that belongs to you.
Zeb and Grubb stand, hands in the air, as Daniel searches their pockets. He pulls out the deed and steps away. Pecos Bill has a gun in each hand trained on the thieves.
Come on, mister. Let's go. He was only fooling. He wasn't going to hurt the boy.
Just one bullet. That's all it would have been.
Grubb thumps Zeb in the stomach.
I ought to plug you two right now. But I make it a rule never to kill a man on Sunday.
Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Zeb and Grubb eye each other, realizing their mistake. They turn tail. Pecos Bill shoots into the air above their heads as the two hot-foot it towards the horizon and the setting sun. Spinning both revolvers, he puts them back in their holsters.
So where are you headed, Daniel Hackett?
Where am I?
Texas.
Texas.
Where'd you think you was?
I don't know. Last thing I remember is falling asleep in Paradise Valley. Because my boat must have gotten loose.
Drifted all the way down from Paradise Valley?
I know, I can't explain it either, but it's the truth. Hey, where you going?
South, down Mexico way.
Mister, I gotta get home. My pa's bad hurt. I gotta take care of my mom, my little brother.
Well, you stay here, you're gonna fry like a bug on a hot skillet. You best come with me.
Pecos Bill turns to go. Daniel looks up at the burning sun. In Gravity Valley, a gang of men are building a railroad, working with shovels and picks. Machines belch clouds of steam. Four heavies, one with a whip, make their way through the workers. They push one man aside and lash another. Some workers squat on the ground, eating meager rations. Others toil with baskets of rocks. Others shoulder heavy picks, heading for the cliff face, flashlights strapped to their caps. An ornate railway carriage trundles forwards on the tracks. Inside, it's elegantly furnished. Styles strides past top-hatted men and up a staircase to a raised section of the carriage, with windows looking over the building works below. He walks out onto a wrought-iron balcony.
Paradise Valley, my idea of heaven. Iron, coal, oil, copper, riches beyond the imagination. Just waiting for a few rugged individuals with the vision, the strength, and the means to make their dreams come true. Gentlemen, we stand on the edge of history.
What about the deeds?
We'll have them tonight.
Do you mean to tell me you still don't have the deeds?
It's under control.
Now listen, Stiles. What happens if we complete the tunnel and the farmers still haven't sold?
This is the West. Things are simple here. There's only one law. Winner take all.
and I plan to take it.
Well, you'd best be right. Otherwise, you'll end up right back where you started. Just another gun for hire.
Stiles raises his silver-topped cane threateningly, then lowers it.
By the time that tunnel breaks through, I guarantee you, we will have the deeds to every inch of Paradise Valley. One way or another.
He taps with the cane and smiles smugly. Now Widowmaker trots along the edge of a wood.
Hello, Widowmaker. We'll make camp here.
Pecos Bill in the saddle swings Daniel to the ground. The boy comes round to stroke the horse's nose.
Good boy, Widowmaker.
A horse rears.
Oh, boy.
Daniel falls.
Oh, Widowmaker. Easy, son. Widowmaker's kind of particular about folks taking liberties with him.
Daniel picks himself up. Pecos Bill dismounts.
Matter of fact, last man who tried that, Widowmaker kicked him so hard he ended up halfway to the moon. Name of Lanky Hank. He bounced up and down for a month of Sundays until finally I just had to shoot him down so he could have a proper burial.
The moon's thousands of miles away. There's no way a man could bounce that high.
You sure do know a lot for a half-grown piglet. So how's this for plain English? Stay away from the horse or he'll kill you.
Try to remember that.
See that you do.
It's night. Widowmaker stands under the trees. Daniel, sleeping rough on the ground, stirs and looks around, then nervously pulls his blanket over his head. Pecos Bill watches him. Now bright sunlight falls on Daniel's face. He wakes in a meadow of waving grass full of strange flowers with orange petals. Daniel sits up. Pecos Bill is saddling Widowmaker. He puts his finger to his lips. Daniel stands. As he does so, the petals take to the air. There are hundreds of brown speckled orange winged butterflies. Pecos smiles.
Kind of makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
The butterflies have gone. Daniel's look of wonder is replaced by a serious frown.
I ain't going to Mexico.
Who said anything about Mexico? We're headed north.
Paradise Valley?
You got some business to settle, ain't you?
But why? Why would you go out of your way for me?
Pecos Bill makes to mount the horse, then turns.
Are you coming or ain't you?
Daniel stares. Now the billow of black smoke from a steam engine. The engine thunders over a rickety bridge, smoke screening the valley below. In the gilded carriage, pulled by the engine, Pug walks up to Stiles, who's standing in front of a model of Paradise Valley.
Hackett's farm, right smack in the middle of everything. Without that deed, I won't have a bucket to spit in. Well?
Hackett's kids disappeared, and the deed with them.
Oh, in other words, you let him get away.
Me? No, the kid got hold of a boat, he slipped downstream.
Want that kid!
Pug looks uneasy. Now Pecos and Daniel ride through autumn woods.
I ain't looking for a fight with this Stiles. I just want to get back to Paradise Valley.
Well, sometimes a fight comes looking for you. Find you too, no matter where you hide.
It would be 100-1. Nobody can win against those odds.
100-1. Job like this calls for a big man. Mr. Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan? Yeah, right.
The sharp blade of a circular saw slices through a tree trunk. The saw is at the front of a huge machine that moves slowly forward. Metal scoops attached to a central wheel gouge out the earth. A worker drives a team of horses across the cleared ground. Hefty men attack remaining tree stumps with huge axes. Others chain felled trunks together to be dragged away. A sign on a building reads J.P. Stiles Lumber Company. In an office, a telegraph. The operator writes down the message. Boy, age 12, in company of cowboy, wanted dead or alive. Daniel and Pecos walk past the window. The telegraph operator stares, then dashes out the door. Pen in his mouth, he watches the two enter the mill.
Bunyan? Never heard of him.
Because he don't exist.
You ain't never heard of Paul Bunyan, greatest logger of them all.
No.
The two huge lumberjacks stroll off. Pecos shakes his head in disbelief.
Come on, Dan'l. Let's haul Freight out of this maneuver wagon.
Hey, come in. Come in.
An old man waves to them, upstairs in his office.
I hear that you're looking for Big Paul.
You know Paul Bunyan?
No. By cracking, yeah. I flipped more flapjacks and slung more hash than you can shake a fist at. Trying to fill the belly of that fella, I never could, you know?
Well, would you know where he might be?
Paul pulled up stakes when the first machinery moved in here. And last I heard, he'd settled in the great Redwood Forest.
Well, I'm much obliged to you, old feller. Appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Good luck to you.
Daniel shakes the old man's hand and follows Pecos out.
Some old geezer. What is he now?
More than you.
Pecos starts to walk off, but stops in his tracks. A gang of burly workmen march up to them. They are surrounded.
Howdy.
The leader socks Pecos in the jaw. He replies, sending the big guy sprawling. Daniel's pushed to the ground and crawls through a narrow gap, and a man grabs his ankle, slowly clawing him back. Pecos fells a guy and runs to help. The bully is hauled out by Pecos. There are fists and bodies everywhere. Daniel scrambles up and is chased along a walkway. His path is blocked by a guy with an axe. Daniel stops short, turns, ducks under his pursuer's legs, and drops from the walkway to the floor below, into the path of the burly leader. Daniel looks up to Pecos for help. He's tossing man after man off the edge of the walkway, but he's hit and falls, triggering a lever that opens a trapdoor which Daniel drops through. Pecos staggers up and socks two guys through a window in a shower of glass. A tree trunk on a conveyor belt edges towards the blade of a buzzsaw. Slumped face down on the log is Daniel, knocked out after his fall. Slowly he comes to, rubs his eyes, looks up to see the spinning blade. He tries to move, but his boot is caught in the chains on the log. Daniel struggles desperately. The log moves steadily on towards the teeth of the blade. Pecos climbs free from the melee, leaps from the walkway, and grabs onto a sack dangling on a rope from the roof joists. He takes out his knife. He slices the rope and is off, swinging from one rope to another, crossing the mill. Daniel stares, horrified, as the saw starts to cut into the log he's chained to, sawdust spitting. The old man watches from the upstairs office. Pecos lands, but is slammed in the stomach by a guy with a boat hook. Grabbing it, he hauls the guy into the river that flows through the middle of the mill. Then Pecos jumps clear. He pulls both guns from their holsters. The saw blade is shot to a standstill, inches from Daniel's head. Pecos spins the revolvers and puts them away. An angry mob advances. Pecos leaps onto them, knocking them down.
Let's go, kid. This way. Gotta get you out of here.
The old man frees Daniel's boot.
All right, now.
The mob has Pecos surrounded. Widowmaker paws the air. Pecos fends the mob off as the horse gallops up.
Get the hell out of here! Down that pipe and keep going! Say hi to Big Paul and good luck!
Let's go! The old man guides Daniel as Pecos jumps onto his horse. The mob gives chase. Daniel creeps along a huge pipe. At the end, daylight. Widowmaker is waiting, but it's a long way down. Daniel hesitates. The mob is behind him.
Come on, what are you waiting for? Go!
Daniel takes a flying leap. He lands on the saddle, clinging to Pecos. The horse rears and thunders off as the men raise their guns. Then the horse is out through the gates and headed for open country. The lumbermen put down their guns. Now, mighty trees silhouetted in a misty forest. Daniel and Pecos on foot, leading Widowmaker.
What I can't understand is how they know we're coming.
The telegraph.
And what?
Strings of wire which allow a man, let's say, over in San Francisco, talk to a man in New York City.
Go on. You're telling me a tall tale. There ain't no voice that can carry that far.
No, they don't actually talk to each other, see? But word has it that that's coming too. There's a man named Bell. He's claiming that people can be hundreds of miles away and what a conversation like. But they're as close as I am to you.
Everybody will know everybody else's business. Well, no time at all, ain't gonna be a single place left where man can find any privacy.
Tell you about everybody. Everybody and their dog is probably after us by now.
Well, used to be when a man got a head start, it meant something.
At least we got away.
What the?
A cage drops over them.
Never enough for you termites, is it? Not enough you swindled me out of my camp, robbed me of my trade. Now you want my woods, too. You want it all! I'm making my stand. At least, if I go down swinging, I go down like a man!
Yeah. Hesh up, you log brain.
Pecos?
Pecos beams at the woodsman.
Let me take a gander at you.
Pecos turns profile. Daniel stares.
You steaming pile of buffalo pucky. You're still ugly.
Pecos looks crestfallen. Night. There's a warm glow of light from a house built in the hollow of a huge fallen tree. Inside, Pecos, Daniel, and the man eating.
I told Sam. They're not loggers, they're butchers. And with their fancy machines, cutting down everything inside, the weak with the strong, the sapling with the full growth, so nothing could ever sprout again. You know what Sam said? He said I was behind the times. Me. Paul Bunyan. The man who invented logging. Who thought up the double-bladed axe, huh? Me. Who dreamed up the log flume? Me again. Don't think it's easy either. My head hurt for days coming up with that one. What about the grindstone? Flapjack contest? Wedge cutting? Three-point stance? Me.
Pecos shoots a warning glance at Daniel.
Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. But my day, we didn't kill the land. We just barred from it.
Well, now what in tarnation are you going to do about it?
I'm going to do as I darn well please, and the rest of the world can go to the blazes.
And would that be including Paradise Valley?
Paradise Valley, no concern of mine.
You're not Paul Bunyan.
Bunyan glowers at Daniel over the rim of his tankard.
Who says I ain't?
My pa used to tell me stories about Paul Bunyan. He said that Paul Bunyan was a giant of a man who could tame a continent, a man who could look danger in the eyes and laugh in its face.
Well, you did get those parts right.
Well, not from where I'm sitting. Seems to me you're just hiding out feeling sorry for yourself.
Pecos, who is this kid?
Seems to me that you're just plain scared.
Pecos hides his face.
You are not the Paul Bunyan my pa was telling me about.
How old are you, kid?
12.
Do me a big sequoia-sized favor. Stay out of my way if you want to be 13.
Later, a huge blue ox plods behind Widowmaker.
Is that ox really blue?
Of course he is. He was born during the winter of the blue snow.
Bunyan, a big man with a bushy beard, rides the ox.
Move it, Pecos. He's feeling frisky.
You move it.
We are moving it.
Big blue bag of beef ought to be hauling logs, not hauling ass. Pardon my French.
Don't you worry, pretty baby. Pop is here. He's not gonna let the bad man hurt you. You watch your mouth, Pecos. The babe's very sensitive.
So we'll catch the ferry at Liberty City. Save us 3 days of hard riding.
Liberty City? Home to every horse thief, bushwhacker, con artist in the territory.
People throng the main street of Liberty City. On each side, wood-fronted shops. A hoarding advertises the saloon. Pecos and Daniel ride slowly through the crowd, Daniel gazing about him. Paul Bunyan in Davy Crockett hat follows behind. Out on the edge of town, a sign reads, Liberty City Drilling Contest, Man versus Machine.
Who will try his hand against the latest miracle of modern technology? I'm offering 10 to 1 odds that this new machine can drive steel faster than anyone alive. Now come on! Come on! There's gotta be someone here mad enough to try! You, sir! Come on, someone out there! There's gotta be someone mad enough to try!
A man slams down his sledgehammer.
My name's John Henry. And mister, you got yourself a bet.
The crowd waved dollar bills in the air.
I'm offering 12 to 1. The machine wins.
John Henry climbs up onto a lump of rock.
It'd be a sucker bet at 20 to 1.
$100 even money says he whoops that goddamn contract.
Even money, Pecos. You can do better than that.
I don't know, John Henry. That thingamajigger looks like it means business.
We'll see.
John Henry, bare-chested, muscles glistening, grins at Pecos.
You ready?
I'm missing my shaker. Can't drive steel without a shaker.
Pull hold for this man.
Isn't he squashed like a tin can by his hammer? There ain't nobody that dim-witted.
Come on, somebody's got to have the gumption.
Widowmaker nudges Daniel forward.
Hammaker! Pecos!
Sorry, Daniel. I gotta protect my investment.
Daniel is bundled to the front.
That's a brave boy. Everybody, how about a round of applause for this courageous young man?
May the Lord have mercy on his soul.
Daniel stands nervously at the base of the rock. He looks up at John Henry.
Mister, I can't do it.
You don't know what you can do until you try. Come on.
Pecos stands grinning in the crowd.
Come on, boy.
John Henry holds out a heavy iron drill bit. Daniel grips it and is hauled onto the rock.
Just grab a hold of this drill and give it a shake and a turn after each time I hit it.
On a neighboring rock, a grimy workman sets a drill bit in place in the machine.
All right. What if you miss it?
I'll never miss. Leastwise, I haven't yet. Ready!
Ready!
The steam hammer is started. John Henry swings. Daniel has ducked away. John Henry urges him to hold on to the bit. The steam hammer pounds steadily.
4 foot jump, son. Make it snap.
Daniel clambers down to the ground and hauls up a larger iron drill bit. His face strains with the effort.
Come on, John Henry! Hold Bunyan! As I live and breathe!
You live and breathe later, you got a race to win, so move it!
The machine belches steam.
Time to get serious. Come on.
Daniel takes up position, kneeling, holding onto the drill bit. John Henry swings.
This 20-pound hammer.
Daniel twists the bit. Daniel climbs down again. The machine hammers mercilessly.
Hurry, boy, hurry!
Daniel can hardly lift the heavy drill bit. The machine has nearly hammered its drill bit home.
Can't do it!
Come on!
John Henry glances at the machine.
Two more ahead!
Come on! Come on, son! Come on!
Daniel sways. John Henry swings. Daniel clings to the ladder, exhausted.
Get up, Daniel! Get up, boy!
The steam hammer's bit has only inches to go. John Henry keeps on pounding. The machine owner watches beadily. Daniel hangs his head. In a whir of cogs and gears, the steam hammer stops.
Hey! The machine wins!
With one last mighty blow, John Henry splits the rock in two. John Henry frowns and hangs his head. Daniel shambles up to Pecos.
Sorry.
You gave it your best shot? Well, if you gave it your best shot, you ain't got nothing to be sorry for.
Pecos turns to attend to his horse. Daniel strokes Widowmaker's nose.
Go ahead, Widowmaker. Might as well get your licks in, too.
Back at the dried-up riverbed, Stiles and his men.
Looks like the boy's been through here.
Hey, JP, look at this. Somebody's finger.
Pug skewers it with a screwdriver.
Somebody's trigger finger.
Stiles wrinkles his nose, plucks the finger off, and throws it to the ground. In the saloon in Liberty City, a chihuahua, dressed in cowboy chaps and hat, prances on its hind legs. Daniel looks around, wide-eyed. A barber downs a bottle of whiskey. His client, lathered up, smokes a cigar. Skimpily dressed good time girls entertain the punters. Men gamble at roulette. John Henry sits by the bar, shaking his head in despair.
My record was perfect before today.
Now you are forever tarnished with ignominious defeat.
Oh, come on, fella, you're just a kid.
You have bad news, Bill. In britches.
Daniel comes up. Pecos hands him a drink and shoves him back.
What is it?
Gasparilla. To the coat.
To the coat?
What do you know about the coat?
Plenty. My pa's always going on about it.
Knowing about the coat ain't the same as living by it.
Good enough. To the coat of the west.
Coat of the north.
The coat of the south.
Daniel raises his glass.
Respect the land, defend the defenseless, and don't never spit in front of women and children.
Daniel's spit lands on the shoe of a mean-looking man. He marches over and grabs Daniel's collar.
You just stepped over the line, boy.
Well, howdy, friend. How about me buying you a drink?
Sure. Just as soon as I'm done skinning this marmot.
Holler if you need a hand.
What, this little saddle sore? He ain't worth your time.
I'll be the judge of that. I'd take that drink if I was you.
So what are you drinking?
Whiskey.
The man shoves Daniel aside and walks up to the bar.
Jasper, let me have some whiskey.
Shucks.
He puts the bottle to his lips.
Gentlemen, to Texas. The nearest thing to heaven is God's green earth.
You from Texas?
Daniel gulps. Pecos calmly puts down his glass.
I do have that honor, sir.
I better smell something funny in here.
Pecos narrows his eyes, picks up a handful of monkey nuts, and crushes the shells in his fist.
Easy, Pecos. Can't scrap on an empty stomach, you know that.
Mister, are you insulting the great state of Texas?
The great state of two-bit tin horns, you mean?
Pecos eyes the man. Bunyan and John Henry exchange knowing glances. Pecos stands up, facing the man square on.
Mister, you can insult me, and you can insult my friends. As a matter of fact, you can even insult my mother or my horse. But, mister, don't you ever insult the great state of Texas.
Bunyan and John Henry look slowly round. The man, Zeke, swings a punch. Pecos blocks, but Zeke gets him with a bottle. Pecos, cross-eyed, shakes his head, then sends the man reeling. John Henry nods his approval. Pecos puffs on his cigar. Zeke surfaces.
Who even hit like a Texan?
Pecos saunters across, then socks Zeke through the plate glass window. Old Indian is sitting on the pavement outside, calmly smoking. He doesn't even bat an eyelid as glass and bodies fly past him. Inside, it's mayhem. The Chihuahua scuttles off, tail between its legs. Daniel shelters behind a pillar. The saloon doors swing open. The sheriff pulls out two revolvers.
Hey! Party's over. Anybody else? Anybody make a move and I'm feeling full of lead. Well, my name ain't Calamity Jane.
Daniel peers out at her.
Jasper? Who started this confabulation?
The barman polishes his specs, then points.
Them two.
Bunyan and John Henry drop their victims.
Where'd that other one get to?
He nods down behind the bar, then ducks. Calamity takes aim. Raining bullets along the bar. Pecos emerges with his hands up.
Well, paint my toenails and curl my hair.
Calamity? My cactus flower.
Don't cactus flower me, you double-crossing dog.
missed you, darling. If only you knew how much I've been thinking about you.
I know too well. You pissant, flea-infested little weasel.
Pans are brought down on Pecos's head.
Lambie, you are looking mighty pretty tonight.
Trying to sweet-talk me? You hairy, overgrown, mealy-mouthed, two-faced, lying, yellow-bellied, sniveling snake.
His holsters drop off.
You gutless, brainless, heartless sidewinder!
You ain't still sore about Amarillo, are you?
You had to bring up Amarillo?
Pecos winces as she outlines his frame with bullet holes in the wall. She spins both revolvers and glares. Night. A sign reads Liberty Jail. In the cell, Pecos, John Henry, and Bunyan.
What's she got again you anyway, Pickles?
Oh, I've run out on her.
Now, Bill, why don't you want to go and do something like that?
Calamity's a mighty handsome woman, Pickles.
Oh, I know.
We're in our own way.
Bunyan and John Henry shrug. Outside, Daniel walks fearfully down the darkened main street. He looks nervously about him, breathing fast. Hesitates, gulps, and walks on. A wagon trundles past him. A woman claps her hands on his shoulders.
Want to get a drink, big boy?
Maybe some other time.
What's the matter? Is it past your bedtime?
Daniel flees, running headlong into a man on the street. He pushes past and scurries on. The man, one of Stiles' gang, turns and thoughtfully watches him go. Daniel pauses near an open door. It's the entrance to a livery stable. Cautiously, he steps inside. Elsewhere, beside a wooden water tower, Stiles looms out of the darkness and moves on. Back in the cell...
The kid run away faster than a scared rabbit.
Amen and good riddance. He bothered me.
And why shouldn't he run? You've been again that boy since you set eyes on him.
What the tarnation?
The wall of the cell starts to move. Pecos peers out through the barred window.
It's Daniel!
Hold me!
Daniel's harnessed the ox to the cell wall.
The ox! Hold me!
So, Daniel Hackett, how does it feel to be on the wrong side of the law?
I'm fine. As long as my mom don't find out.
Boy, I didn't know you had it in you. Help me! What's that noise?
Whatever it is, it's coming his way.
The ox is dragging the wall away.
Faster, you dumb ox!
But stops suddenly. The heroes slam against the inside of the wall. Daniel tugs harder.
Run, Daniel! Run, boy!
Then lets the chain go. He flees as motorcycles roar down the street towards him. The heroes are still trapped in the jail as Daniel runs down a side alley. The two motorcycles with sidecars swing round the corner, gaining on him. Back outside the jail, the blue ox stands stock still.
Stupid ox. What's wrong with the dumb animal? Why ain't he pulling, Paul? Why'd he quit pulling, Paul?
It's very simple. If you insulted him, you have to apologize.
Paul?
Mr. Pecos, Bill.
I ain't apologizing to no ox.
Outside, Daniel pounds along the alley, a motorcycle close behind. Then the motor car, another motorcycle with Stiles riding Pillion, the rest of the gang running behind. At the jail.
Babe. Uncle Pecos thinks you're the prettiest blue ox he ever did see, and he is very, very sorry for any hurtfulness he may have caused you. Now, pull!
The ox starts to move.
Yeah! Go, baby! Come on, baby!
The roof goes. The front wall collapses in a splinter of logs. Pecos emerges from the dust.
Yeah! Timber! All right, spread out. Find the boy heading the ferry.
They all clamber free from the wreckage. Daniel is running for his life. Behind him, the glare of headlights from the pursuing vehicles.
Oh, dear!
At the end of the street, Bunyan sees him and chops at a telegraph pole.
Timber!
Daniel dives forwards under the falling pole. The vehicles crash into it, their drivers pitched up into the air. Bunyan waves his axe.
Take that, you pisses! I'm Paul Bunyan! I'm 300 pounds, a raging fury!
His axe is hit.
You're in trouble now! Don't put your little gun at me, you sissy! Hug it out, eat! And swing! Any one of you! And Paul Bunyan!
He heads off in pursuit. Daniel runs into an ambush at Bully Boys. They hold him as Pug approaches.
Give me that day, fuck.
But Bunyan appears with a pole and rams one of the men into a pile of straw. Bunyan circles, knocking the others like skittles. Pug tries to seize Daniel, who ducks. Bunyan grabs Pug in a great bear hug. Daniel makes his escape. He runs on, past market stalls with flaming braziers, then through the gates of a fenced-off water tower. Styles' shadow is cast on the ground as Daniel makes for the crisscross wooden construction. Styles strides after him as the boy starts to climb. Daniel scales a ladder up the side of the wooden tower and scrambles to a narrow platform at the top. Styles climbs resolutely after him. Daniel, his back pressed against the huge water tank, inches his way around. Styles climbs higher, keeping his eyes fixed on the boy. Daniel edges round the far side of the tank as Styles reaches the platform. Nervously, Daniel peers round.
Nobody's gonna hurt you, son. Just hand over that deed.
You shot Paul!
Son, your pa's a fool. He's stuck in the past and he wants you stuck there with him. But that ain't what you want, is it? You don't want to waste your life behind a plow.
Mm-mm.
You want more than that. You hate that farm. It ain't nothing but a dried up, miserable piece of ground. Now.
Styles is only inches from Daniel and makes a grab.
Give me that deed.
Daniel edges away as quickly as he can. Styles, dagger drawn, is waiting for him round the other side.
Son, you're trying my patience.
The blade flashes in the moonlight.
Give me that deed. Like a good little boy.
Below, Bunyan hurls his axe, pinning Styles' coat to the tower. He lunges. Daniel topples over the edge, plummeting down. Bunyan dives into an old tent. Daniel lands on top.
Kid, trouble seems to follow you like a bird dog.
Lucky for me, I got my friends.
Yeah, well, we ain't that good friends. Get your carcass off of me.
They struggle up. Styles throws down the axe. They flee.
Move it, kid.
John Henry is waiting by the ferry.
Come on, Daniel! Run, Daniel! Run! Come on! Come on, Pecos! Paul! Run! Come on, hurry up!
Pecos gallops up. Bunyan hurls himself into the boat.
Timber.
John Henry and Daniel cast off. Styles appears, puffing and panting over the brow of the hill. He primes his shotgun and takes aim. The ferry is some way from the bank. Styles puts down the gun.
This ain't over, kid! Not by a long shot.
He turns and gestures angrily to his men, and they head off. Morning. In dazzling sunlight, the raft-like ferry boat floats on a ribbon of still water, winding its way between the high walls of a canyon, a twisting passageway of eroded yellow rock. Paul Bunyan is standing at the helm, guiding the single oar from side to side. Babe, the blue ox, flaps his ears lazily. He's tethered beside Widowmaker and John Henry's mule in the center of the raft. Pecos cleans his revolver. John Henry has a makeshift fishing rod. He joins Daniel, who's stretched out, lounging against a sack, his own fishing line dangling over the side.
Thinking about you, Pa?
I used to bait a line with my daddy when I was a young'un. Never caught much, but that was never the point.
Seems like fishing's the only time me and Pa actually get along.
You two lock horns, huh?
As far as Pa's concerned, I can't do nothing right.
My daddy was the same way. Always telling me what to do like I didn't have no mind of my own.
Exactly. Although I know I should have finished the plowing.
I now see he only bothered on account of how much he cared for me. Daddy was just doing the best he knew how. That's what grieves me. I never got the gumption to tell him how I felt about it.
Why not?
Daddy got sold downriver.
Sold?
We were slaves. It's too late for me. Let's hope it's not too late for you.
Daniel bows his head. The raft sails on. Now Pecos leads the way through a desert dotted with weird rock formations.
First set blasted ox, now a gall-derned jackass. Might as well be riding turtles.
Cold molasses is a mule.
I wasn't referring to her. Shake a hoof. Come sun up, we got the endless desert to contend with.
The endless desert?
Hottest, meanest stretch of desolation this side of hell.
Night, they sit round a campfire, strange shadows thrown up on the rocks behind.
Sure is dark.
Sure is.
No one wants to see a picture of New York City at night. It's all lit up with these electric light bulbs. Could use a few of them right about now.
Electric light bulb?
Light bulbs. They're balls of glass which light up 100 times brighter than the brightest candle.
Go on.
Well, pretty soon people won't need lanterns. Won't have to go chopping wood to make fires. Just turn this little knob and these electric light bulbs just come on.
But I like chopping wood.
Pretty soon there won't be no darkness. It'll be like noontime midnight.
How are folks going to see the stars?
They just won't see the stars, I guess.
Well, I don't like it. No, sirree, Bob, I don't like it one... Oh. If you ask me, I think he's telling us a tall tale.
Yeah, it's a tall tale. That's a tall tale for sure.
That's God's honest truth.
The heroes stare. Paul Bunyan looks up at the night sky.
Not see the stars?
Daniel also looks up. Stars and a crescent moon twinkle in the midnight blue. Darkness. Now a blazing yellow sun burns in an orange sky. Below, the rippling trail of a rattlesnake as it spirals across the endless sand. Daniel and his friends appear tiny, framed between yellow sand dunes and a relentless clear blue sky. In a seemingly unbroken stretch of sand, a hat appears, then the rest of Pecos Bill as he labors up over the brow of a dune, Daniel beside him, John Henry and Paul Bunyan following. Babe and Widowmaker and the mule bring up the rear. The desert stretches endlessly ahead. The group struggles on. The animals come to a standstill. Paul Bunyan turns, sways, then sinks to his knees.
Hotter than a June bride in a feather bed.
What is ain't nothing. Well, compared to the summer of 88, it's so hot that all the chickens is laying fried eggs and babies is crying sawdust.
Hey, we're out of water.
Things got so bad that the whole state of Texas lit on fire, so I hightailed it up to Kansas.
Does this story have a point, or does it just go on and on and on like this stinking desert?
Yeah, this story has a point. I blew out the dang fire. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of you complaining and whining all the time.
I'm lost in the middle of a giant barbecue pit, and I don't know what's going to kill me first. The heat, the thirst, or having to listen to your incessant yammering.
You shut up, you overblown tub of lard.
You stay out of this, you contest loser.
What did you call me?
Shut up! You're nothing but a big fat quitter!
As the heroes fight, Daniel plods stoically on. The heroes flailing on the ground stop suddenly and watch him. Daniel scuffs down the next dune. The heroes stand and stagger after him. Daniel toils slowly on. He looks up. Coming towards him is a man. Pa, striding across the sand. Daniel breaks into a run. The man smiles. Daniel frowns and slows.
Pa?
It's all right, Daniel. Just a mirage.
He was there.
It is amazing the things that he'll do to a man.
Daniel gets to his feet and turns away.
Just want to get home.
Well, things can't get no worse than this.
Night. The twin lights of the steam train. The engine belches black smoke. Stiles stands on the viewing platform. Clouds of smoke billow behind him, blotting out the silver moon. Darkness. Now the sun gleams on the barrels of shotguns aimed by Stiles' bully boys. Daniel is sleeping on the sand. Stiles himself points a revolver at the boy's chest, then prods him. Daniel stirs and sits up.
Pecos!
Good morning. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes a boy healthy, wealthy.
Daniel jumps up.
And alive.
Arm one hair on that boy's head, you're a dead man, Stiles.
I got no quarrel with you, cowboy, or your friends.
You sure got a peculiar way of showing it.
The deed.
You can't have the...
We don't have a prayer. We never did.
That's your way of thinking, I reckon we don't.
You don't stop progress, cowboy. There's a difference between me and you. I can adjust to the times. You can't.
Don't listen to him, Daniel.
We can beat this thing yet.
You just got to believe, boy.
Where do you get off telling me what to do? Where do any of you get off telling people how to live?
That's it, boy. That's the spirit.
Don't lose the dream, Daniel.
You don't know what you can do until you try.
Don't give up on yourself, kid.
You all are nothing. You're just a bunch of tall tales that my pa made up. You are nothing but hot air.
Pecos stiffens. Paul shakes his head. John Henry looks down.
I ain't got all day, boy. Time is money.
Don't do it, Daniel.
Daniel holds out the deed. Stiles grabs it. Pecos hangs his head and shuts his eyes. Daniel looks at his friends.
My ringtail roar. I can draw faster,
shoot straighter, and a pearl hammer. Shine like silver.
I can out eat, out twin any man alive.
I just want to get home.
I am the rip snorting cowboy that have rode north, south, east.
I want to get home.
White cloud billows, swirling round Daniel, swallowing him up, blotting out the desert. The hero, Stiles. Daniel spins around in confusion. Looming out of the blue shadows, figures working on a railroad, carrying rocks, laboring with picks. Among the men wielding sledgehammers, a man he recognizes. Daniel steps closer. His pa stops working and stares. The overseer lashes Pa with his whip. Darkness. Daylight. Daniel sits up. He frowns. He's in the wooden rowing boat. Quickly, he fumbles in his pocket and pulls out the deed. He snatches up his hat and scrambles out of the boat, which is tethered to its mooring. Sunlight gleams gold on Paradise Valley as Daniel runs along the jetty and through the fields of waving grass. His mother's on the veranda. Daniel flings his arms around her. She hugs him tight.
Your father. He's gonna be all right.
Daniel blinks back tears. His mother pats his cheek and he heads into the house. In the bedroom, Pa's lying in the big brass bed.
Pa?
Daniel.
Pa, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, son. I knew you didn't mean any of those things you said.
But I did, Pa. I even told Pecos he was a fool. I told him you was stupid for standing up like you done. But I was the one who was being stupid, Pa. I was the one who was being a fool.
Pecos.
Pecos Bill.
You had a talk with Pecos Bill.
Pecos Bill and Paul Bunyan and John Henry, they were all there. They were just like you said, Pa.
Well, now, where was this?
It's in the desert. Redwood Forest, Liberty City, the Great Caverns. Well,
sounds like you covered a lot of territory.
Well, we had to. Stiles and his gang were on our tails the whole ways.
JP Stiles.
But it's okay because the deed's right here. The valley's still right here. And we still got a chance to save it, Pa. Daniel.
Daniel turns round. His mother is looking at him quizzically.
You don't believe me?
Daniel, you fell asleep on the boat.
Ma, they were there. I mean, they was as real as you and me. Pa, you believe me, don't you?
Yes, sir. I believe you.
We still got the deed, Pa. I don't know how, but we still got it. And J.P. Stiles ain't getting this farm.
Son. You did fine. You did just fine. Not that it matters anymore.
But, Pa, it does. It does matter. It matters all the world.
We're selling. No piece of ground is worth dying for. I guess it's just about time you faced up to that, too.
You're giving up?
Wise enough.
No, Pa. The land's defenseless.
Pa shuts his eyes.
Pa, if you give in, you don't know what's gonna happen here.
Daniel, you hurt your father. Now let him rest.
Oh, somebody's got to do something.
Daniel, please.
She looks earnestly at him. Daniel goes out. Pa has fallen asleep. The steam train thunders across a bridge. In the gilded carriage, two ancient Oriental servants set down dishes on a magnificent table. The captains of industry raise their glasses. Stiles sits at the head.
Gentlemen, your health.
Your health.
Daniel strides purposefully up the muddy main street of the village, passing the cluster of white-painted clapboard buildings. The place looks deserted. A couple of men come down the front steps of their houses. Shotguns crooked over their arms. The train steams into the opening of a rough tunnel hewn into the cliff. In the carriage, Stiles strokes a hairless cat. On the other side of the mountain, Daniel climbs through the undergrowth towards the tunnel entrance. Men are working on it. The entrance is shored up with timbers and props. More villagers slip out of their houses and into the main street. They're armed with axes and sledgehammers. Daniel heads towards the tunnel entrance. Inside, the workers stand beside the tracks as the engine steams slowly through. Daniel steps inside, coming face to face with the train. He stands on the track, looking up at the huge iron monster, belching steam. The iron wheels lock. It squeals to a halt. Its cowcatcher is shaped like an eagle with spreading wings, a link of chain through its sharp beak. Daniel stands, trembling, in the path of the mighty engine. In the carriage, an industrialist sighs.
The West, indeed.
Pug whispers in Stiles' ear.
That kid's blocking the tracks.
Stiles steps out onto the balcony in front of the engine's funnel. He stares down at Daniel.
Well, I see your pa sent a boy to do a man's job.
I come on my own accord.
The time for deeds is over, kid. Get off the track.
I'm telling you to get out of Paradise Valley.
A little speck of dust like you. You really think you can stop all this?
Well, maybe not, but I sure am gonna give it my best shot.
All right. Have it your way, then. Run him over. I said run him over.
The heavy wheels begin to turn.
Get off the track, Daniel! Don't be a fool!
Daniel leans against the engine, pushing as it starts to advance. The crowd of armed villagers gather behind him, watching anxiously. The brass beak of the eagle bears down on Daniel, forcing him back. He struggles. The engine rolls remorselessly on. Daniel loses his footing and slips.
Daniel!
Stiles smiles smugly as Daniel disappears beneath the eagle's spread brass wings. He's flat on his back between the rails under the belly of the engine. The villagers stare. The wheels grind to a halt. The engine jolts. Daniel wriggles round onto his stomach. Through the smoke, he sees the feet and legs of John Henry standing on the tracks, hands braced against the cowcatcher, pushing with all his might. Daniel wriggles free.
John Henry! Where have you been?
Just waiting for you to make your move, Daniel. Just waiting for you to make your move.
Kill him! And be done with it!
Stiles' men rush from the tunnel, guns raised. The villagers stand at the tunnel entrance, watching helplessly. Stiles' men take aim at Daniel and John Henry, still braced against the might of the train.
Hold it right there.
Pecos Bill makes his way through the cluster of villagers and stands on the tracks. Daniel looks at John Henry and grins.
Mister, I got no fight with you.
Nah, defenseless youngins and farmers are more your style.
Stiles gives a wry smile.
Mister, you just killed yourself.
Daniel's eyes widen. Pecos Bill holds his ground. Stiles' men prime their weapons. Stiles gives the nod. Pecos draws.
Trigger finger! My trigger finger's gone!
The villagers raise their guns.
Oh, come on!
What are we waiting for?
They surge forward onto the tracks, joining Daniel and John Henry, pushing against the train.
More steam!
In the darkness of the tunnel, Paul Bunyan swings his axe, felling the tunnel props. Bits of rock begin to fall. He jumps clear and swings again. Villagers spill onto the tracks, coming alongside John Henry, who's still braced, dripping with sweat. Slowly, the massive iron monster is forced back, inch by inch.
$200 an acre! $300! $500 an acre!
villagers stand, waving their hats in the air as the train is swallowed up into the blackness of the tunnel. It reverses, the rear carriage emerging from the tunnel on the other side of the mountain. By the entrance in Paradise Valley, Daniel stands beside Pecos Bill at the front of the crowd, staring into the tunnel. Paul Bunyan emerges from the dust-filled void.
One more ought to do her.
He hands his axe to Daniel. Daniel looks round for reassurance. Pecos nods. John Henry, too. Daniel heads into the tunnel. The heroes watch him go. Inside, the darkness is relieved only by swirling dust. A man looms up out of the murky gloom. Daniel, unaware, heads along the tracks.
Boy, be reasonable. You know we're gonna win in the end. Stop. Just stop. All right.
I admit it. You got me over a barrel. My back's to the wall.
Name your price.
I ain't interested.
You fool.
There'll be others just like me. And more after them and after them. As long as there's a profit to be made, we'll never stop. We're coming.
Not through our land!
Daniel lifts the axe and swings. Stiles looks up as rocks and timbers crash from the roof of the tunnel. Daniel starts to run. Stiles pulls his revolvers, but debris rains down on him. Smoke and dust billows from the tunnel entrance. The villagers stand motionless, anxiously watching. A small figure emerges as the dust settles.
Daniel!
Daniel!
The villagers run to meet him.
He did it.
We sure did.
Daniel looks round. No one is left by the tunnel entrance as the villagers hurry him away. It's late afternoon. Daniel is planting seed in a furrowed field. With his fingers, he pushes each seed into the earth.
Kinda makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
Pa, leaning heavily on a stick, limps over the field towards him.
It's a bright nice sunset, huh, Pa?
Yes, Daniel. It's a good one.
Pa puts his hand on Daniel's shoulder.
Well, time to call it a day.
Come on!
He takes Daniel's bag.
Let's get washed up for supper. Coming?
You go on. I think I'll just stay here a piece.
Pa nods and walks on.
Pa!
He turns.
I love you, Pa.
I love you too, son.
Pa looks proudly at Daniel, then turns and heads for the house. Daniel watches him go. Now Daniel's seen from above. His hair is ruffled by a slight breeze.
Come say goodbye, Daniel.
Daniel turns and breaks into a grin. Behind him, the heroes.
Knew you would.
Paul Bunyan steps forward, smiling.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Daniel.
Me?
Yeah, you. Thanks to you, I got my old appetite back again. Hell, Babe and I are gonna head on up to the Alaskas. Here they got some little tiny forests ain't even half growed yet.
Daniel swallows hard and holds out his hand. Bunyan pulls him into a great bear hug. Daniel smiles, eyes closed, wrapped in the big man's arms. Bunyan pushes him away as John Henry comes up, beaming broadly.
What about you, John Henry?
I've been thinking about a rematch with that there steam drill.
Well, if you ever need a shaker,
I keep you in mind.
They shake hands warmly. Now Pecos Bill shambles shyly over.
Much obliged too, Dan.
Daniel sighs. They turn. Bunyan is already mounted on Babe the Blue Ox. Daniel stands tall.
To the goal.
Parr is nearly at the house. He stops and looks round, amazed, seeing the group in the distant field. Like the heroes, Parr removes his hat. Parr smiles, turns, and heads for the house. Paul Bunyan and John Henry lead off. Pecos stands with Daniel, his hand on the boy's shoulders, watching. Bunyan and John Henry vanish into thin air.
Well, you done right, Daniel. I'm beginning to think it weren't possible to do right no more. Now, because of you, I know it is.
You're the one who did everything.
Widowmaker! Oh.
So long, Widowmaker. So long, boy.
Well, hop on.
Me alone on Widowmaker?
Listen, you don't have a mind to.
Daniel puts on his hat. Pecos gives him a leg up.
Okay, up to go.
Pecos slaps the horse on the rump.
Ah!
He watches as Daniel gallops over the fields.
He's all yours, Daniel Hackett.
Clouds gather overhead, dipping below the mountains on the edge of the valley. Pecos Bill picks up his lasso as Daniel rides the sleek black horse, his eyes wide with delight. The grey clouds whip round into a cyclone. Lightning strikes as the twister courses through the fields. Daniel wheels round on the horse. Pecos runs towards the cyclone, circling his lasso above his head.
Pecos!
So long, Daniel! Take good care of Widowmaker!
Pecos, don't go!
Don't worry about it! You can handle things from here!
Pecos ropes the cyclone. The spiraling wind heads straight for him. Pecos is picked up and whirled around, riding the twister. Daniel watches, blown by the wind, as the cyclone heads over the edge of the mountains and is swallowed up into the clouds. Daniel stares wide-eyed.
So long, Pecos.
Widowmaker rears. His hooves paw the air in his own farewell. The end. In memory of Wayne Finkelman. Audio description written by Louise Fryer, voiced by Dan Strauss.